Radio.
At what time?
I don't know. I'll find out.
It says 9 and it's on 9. Why is that correct?
I don't know. I'm saying this is a Google Calendar glitch.
Are we rolling?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we are? Oh, good. This is all part of the show.
We don't edit anything.
This is the tech support section.
I'm here with Nils.
Yeah, how do you pronounce my last name?
Dallaire?
That's pretty good.
What is it? Dallaire?
Dallaire, yeah.
Dallaire. Yeah. Nils Dallaire. Are you French?
No.
Is that French? Is that a French name?
No. It is a French name, but I'm not French.
Can this sounds good? Matt?
Sounding.
What do you mean, does it sound that good?
There's a lot of hums, and there's an ice machine.
How's it going to sound when he plays his piano? What did you bring?
I brought a guitar.
Oh. I just started music. I don't really know anything.
Yeah, I saw something. Like, I was listening to a couple of your podcasts, and there was something about, like, do you need to know bar chords?
Right. Do I?
I don't know. I was hoping that you answered that.
Do you?
I do, but I don't know if that's just from vanity, because they look cool.
They do look cool, but I don't look cool. I mean, why polish this turd? You know what I'm saying?
What else do you have to do?
I guess I could polish it. You're right. So, she sent me all the research, and I haven't done any.
Okay.
I was going to do it. I thought we were going to meet
fine.
At 4.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Tish is an idiot. Let me go on record saying that. How do you know Tish?
I know Tish because she was BFFs with my wife back in the high school days.
Right. Cool. I should tell everyone, although it'll probably be in the description, we're in New York at my favorite bar, the Library Bar. In New York. Do you come to this bar?
I've been to it before.
Yeah.
But I'm not a regular. I could tell you were a regular when she recognized you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been coming here for
years. What's your, like, New York, L.A. breakdown?
I lived in New York for a while in the 90s. Like, from 92 to, like, hi.
What size shirt do you wear?
What size shirt? Yeah. Triple extra large. Yeah.
The fattest man on earth.
See, that's regular talk. They don't talk to that unless they talk like that unless you're regular.
No, they're very polite to you. But they know
you don't tip. I saw the warnings. There's like 6 warnings about not tipping behind the bar.
Oh yeah, I guess a lot of Europeans come here.
Oh,
French
really?
Guys like you.
Yeah.
Don't tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I lived in New York for a while and wait, you're interviewing me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious.
Yeah. I worked on Conan when it first started, and then a couple other shows after that, and then moved. I was back and forth for a couple of years, New York and L.A., and now mostly L.A.
So you moved to L.A. pre-9/11?
I moved L.A. like 9/11 and a half.
Like
an hour after 9/11 happened.
Got it. As soon as they started booking flights again.
We lived on. I have a little daughter now. She's an adult daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But she was 2 years old, and we lived by the Holland Tunnel and saw the plane hit out our window.
Oh no shit!
Yeah.
For the first one or the second one?
Second one.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, "What? What's that second? Is that second plane trying to help?" And then it smashed right into it.
Wow! Did she see it?
Thank you. No, she was too little. She couldn't see that high.
She was,
So we got the hell out of it. My parents were visiting at the time, and we drove upstate for a while.
Mm.
And then, and the air was so bad
because
of all the dead bodies in the air.
Right, and probably Holland Tunnel was not like a chill place to be around then at that time.
No. But I got out of, I was driving and got out of town pretty quickly.
Yeah. Like, literally, like, that day, or, like...
Oh, like, yeah, before the second tower fell.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
So you were just, like, fucking...
I was, like, all Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Just got the hell out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And went over the Henry Hudson Bridge, north.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that we're talking about 9/11, because I just happened on YouTube this morning, there was a link for the Howard Stern Show.
Yeah.
on 9/11, and that's what I was listening to. I lived in Boston at the time, and that's what I was listening to.
Right. He had a big show that day.
And so I like checked out that YouTube link for a couple of minutes. Anyway, 9/11.
9/11. Do you have any 9/11 songs? Did you ever write a song about 9/11?
No, I think that's that's kind of scary because it would have to be, I don't know. Yeah. You'd have to be really good or really bad. I think if it's like anywhere between really good or really bad, then that's just embarrassing.
Right. I had a song on my first record, which came out earlier this year, called New York is Snowing. And my bandmate just assumed it was about 9/11 and just started telling people it's about 9/11. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's about S&M. I wrote it like in the 90s.
Whenever people recast my anecdotes, I never correct them. And so now there's like anecdotes that have nothing to do with the truth because they sort of evolved.
Do your songs get misinterpreted?
Listen, if they get interpreted or misinterpreted.
You love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I do too.
Yeah. So you're new at songwriting?
Well, I've been writing for years, but I'm just new at, I'm just focusing on that now.
And you're doing
I got my first band together at the age of 52.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
See, you can polish a turd.
I can polish a turd, yeah.
I was listening to a couple episodes, and you're doing like a Halloween album and a Christmas album.
Yeah, I did a Halloween album, finished it right before Halloween, so no one could hear it.
Sure. Well, and it gives it a long trail for hyping up for next year.
How's that sounding? Sounds okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay. All right, good.
Are you going to run into any rights issues now?
No. No one listens to this show.
Okay.
Let alone...
You're the perfect guest.
Who is this? Who's playing right now? Who is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Misfits.
There you go. Glenn Danzig needs money.
Yeah, they're never going to listen to this show. Maybe I'll have them on and they'll sue me.
As long as you talk over, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can play
no
guitar over
silences.
It, too.
Yeah, totally.
It'll be
perfect.
Great.
What key is this in?
the Misfits.
So I'll stop asking you questions in a minute, but I am curious. So when you're doing like a Christmas album, those are all original songs?
All original. No sleigh bells.
Yeah,
didn't put any. Originally, I thought we'll put sleigh bells, we'll put all kinds of Christmas.
Let's save that for the remastered version once it's platinum.
But it was sounding good with just the band.
Yeah.
And I hired a choir too.
So what does that mean? What are you talking about with Christmas?
Like, it's just songs about my experiences with Christmas.
Okay.
So they're not that happy.
Right. Because usually Christmas carols, those are like origin songs about like.
Right. Yeah. I have one song called O Bethlehem. And it's vaguely political and about Jesus' supposed birth and all that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I feel like there's maybe like some space in the marketplace for some non-creationist or whatever.
Yeah. What's the word for it? Secular. Secular
there you
Christmas
go.
Song.
Yeah. I mean, you have like, I Caught My Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Right.
But that's a little creepy.
Yeah.
I'll Be Home for Christmas. Super depressing.
Yeah. Do you know that song?
He's not coming home for Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd like...
Yeah.
He's not coming home for Christmas.
No, I know. The ending.
Yeah.
That says it. And then the creepiest one, have you ever heard Baby, It's Cold Outside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never really paid attention to the lyrics. I'm not a, like, pay attention to the lyrics.
It's a woman who wants to leave and the guy won't let her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
it's like, baby, it's too cold. Like, don't go. I know I gotta go.
Yeah, it'd be a real shame if you slipped and fell.
Yeah. No, it's the rapiest song ever.
Wow. I like, the reason I'm curious is that I like, the way that I write songs often is around a theme.
Yeah.
So there's, like, putting constraints on what you can sing about or whatever to me is very freeing.
What are your themes
usually? Outer space.
Oh, nice. That's a huge theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's sort of been where my biggest success has been, with outer space songs.
Yeah. Are they like funny outer space though?
Yeah, I mean they're not like jokes, but
right.
I think they're like, you know, they're like, you know.
I feel like I don't do jokes either, but there's a humor slant to my stuff, so that.
Well, because it's like, right, I feel like if there's a joke, then it doesn't have a lot of replay value.
Right.
But if it's something that's like...
Unless you're Weird Al Yankovic.
Witty, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I've been getting my kids into him recently, which has been a lot of fun. Really? Why not?
I don't like Weird Al.
Really don't like Weird Al?
I think he goes for low-hanging fruit, really.
Yeah, he probably has a song called Low-Hanging Fruit.
Yeah, based on glow-planging fruit. Now, I guess, you know, you're young, so how old are you?
How old do you think I am?
I would say you're like mid-30s.
42.
42, oh, yeah. You look good for 42. Like yeah. But still, you're young.
Yeah.
You're 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So that's why you like Weird Al.
I got 10 years before I have to start polishing turds.
Yeah, and hating Weird Al.
Yeah, all right.
I don't hate...
I've never actually really met anybody who hates Weird Al because I feel like he doesn't aspire to be anything other than what he is.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
But...
He's doing his new tour. I saw that he was booking a tour, and I was like, this is great. I have an 8-year-old. Like, I'm going to take her and do the whole thing. But it's not parody songs. It's all his originals.
Oh.
And there's no, like, big set pieces. It's just, like, all about the music. And
maybe I'd like that.
See, that's funny, because to me, I was like, no, that's...
Because I hate his parody songs.
Yeah.
I just think they're stupid.
They are stupid.
I don't hate them.
He's got a... Yeah. He is stupid. He dares to be stupid.
Someone once said to me, come on, he's good. Another one rides the bus. And I'm like, that's a dumb title. He's like thinking something better. And I didn't even blink. I said, another one wipes the butts.
There you go.
Already better.
Yeah, but he's like a straight PG, G to PG.
That's what's wrong with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that I can appreciate. But know thyself.
Yeah. All right, so you do space.
Yeah. So I actually brought something for you, and if you haven't done any research, this might help contextualize things. So I have a band called Future Folk. We have a coloring book.
Oh,
so that's for you.
Nice.
So the concept is that we're from outer space. Mm-hmm. And we landed on Earth and formed a bluegrass band. And that's sort of the backstory.
Yeah.
And so our canon is songs about missing our home planet. There's songs about sort of like not belonging. There's songs about isolation. There's songs about things on Earth that we think are really weird and unusual.
Right.
Those are usually the most sort of benign and pedestrian things that we're blown away by.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have this...
So it could get deep, like... Your music.
You know, like, okay, so here's, and I actually...
Like Vonnegut, maybe. Like, it's if Vonnegut was a band.
I would say not, I would say maybe that's flattering. I'd say maybe more like Shel Silverstein.
Right.
Deep. Yeah, but I'll take it.
Sure. I haven't heard it yet, but...
No. and we have a feature-length movie that's on Netflix.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you do that?
We had friends who were filmmakers who basically, you know, it was one of those things where everything came together at the right time.
Yeah.
They had a project that fell through. They wanted to do their first feature. Both myself and Jay were sort of at transitory places in our lives where we could take the time off to do this. They were like, let's see if we can get the funding. And 6 months later, it came through. We shot the movie. And so it's done pretty well.
Yeah.
It had a theatrical release.
I can't wait to see it.
94% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Nice. How many reviews? That's the key.
There's two, yeah.
How do you get 94% when there's only two?
No. I don't know how many. I don't know how many ratings. Not enough for us to be certified platinum, but enough for us to, for them to...
Well, that's great, yeah.
Legitimately.
I mean, you've heard a couple of these shows. You know I don't do a lot of research. I like kind of learning about the person and then going and listening. Maybe there's going to be a second season, if anyone cares, where I have people back and I actually I'm talking about.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Well, if you're successful enough to have a second season, why would you mess with that formula? I think you just continue to go in blind.
It's not even successful. I could just strong-arm my way in. Yeah.
There you go.
If I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you write? Do you write with your partner? Jay, is it?
Yeah, Jay. Yeah. I'm the primary songwriter. We have a couple songs that he wrote, and I think there's one or two songs we collaborated on. But for the most part, it's my my songwriting.
Right. And how do you go about with like the initial idea? Is it something like? Are you thinking about the world in general and go, hey, what would an alien think about this, you know?
Usually not. Usually I'm thinking about my own personal experience and then recontextualize it from the perspective.
I think that's what I meant, but yeah. I worded it badly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll hear a phrase that, you know, like, here's an example. This is not a song I haven't written, but someone the other day said, astronomical, and I was like, that would be a great name for a future folk song. Like,
yeah,
astronomical.
Yeah.
So usually it starts with a little kernel of an idea, in terms of the lyrics, and then I build it out from there, and I sweat the details pretty hard.
Yeah. How about Astronomicon?
That's the fan-based event around that song. Like when that song gets super popular and we're like at the Javits Center, that's Astronomicon.
Wow, yeah, I was thinking of it as a book about the universe, like the Necronomicon.
Oh, yeah, like the Necronomicon. Yeah.
But
totally.
That's a good take, too.
Right, and maybe instead of the, like, the cover with the, like, dried parchment face, it has, like, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy face on the cover instead of something like that. Yeah.
Douglas Adams, maybe you're the band version of Douglas Adams.
Yeah, listen, I'll take it. Yeah. those are good shoes to stand in.
So what are some titles of your songs?
So Future Folk Songs, we have probably the biggest, the one that's been the best received is called Space Worms. We have one called Over the Moon. We have a song called I Cannot Breathe in Your Atmosphere. We have a song called Impossible Dream. We have a song called Pirate Krong. That's one that Jay wrote. We have
What's that last one?
Pirate Krong. So it's a sort of a character sketch about this gentleman.
Yeah. Pirate Krong. And Space Worms, is that about like wormholes?
Nope. It's about our origins as worm farmers on our home planet.
Oh.
And the fact that there's no worms on Earth, and that's disappointing. There's no space worms on Earth. There are earthworms. That's why they're called earthworms.
Right. cool. So, did you ever? I mean, like, have you ever had your heart broken?
Yes.
Did you ever like think of? Did you write a song about an alien getting his heart broken or anything like that?
That's interesting. I have not specifically written a song about an alien getting his heart broken. No, but that is a good sort of that is a good analogy of how I would.
Right. Yeah.
I like this idea
that you know you're going through things as an Earthling, but you're interpreting it.
And some of them are silly. You know what I mean?
Some of them are
like straight up storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think the ones that work the best are the ones that have universal truth in them that's sort of dressed up in this context.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like it's disarming in a good way to have. The other thing is, I mean, you saw the pictures, like we have that outfits.
Yeah.
So we come out and we play and we like are wearing these ridiculous things.
Yeah.
And the juxtaposition between that and being able to like actually play reasonably well and have these songs that are well thought out, I think it's like I do very well with low expectations.
Yeah.
So I feel like you come out wearing these silly things, it's very low expectations. If you look at the back cover, you can see the actual actual costume.
And it's just two of you guys in the band?
Yep. I play banjo and he plays guitar and we both sing.
Nice. That's great. I can't wait to hear it now. I can't believe I've waited this long.
That's okay.
Is it?
Most people will wait much longer.
is it more like adult based?
No, actually, it is. Was originally so we like when we started playing doing this act. This is not the sum entirety of my musical existence, but this is the one thing that's happened to just become the most popular.
Yeah.
Never would have guessed that would happen. This was not the thing that I was like.
So how did you start? What did you?
I was doing all kinds of crazy projects when I first moved to New York. This was one of many. We used to play actually in this neighborhood a lot. We would do shows, in East Village and like these dive bars. We would do comedy shows. It was not even like necessarily musical gigs.
Did you ever play Sidewalk? over here?
No.
No.
No. Where's that?
It's like on 7th and A here.
Okay.
And they used to have a really big, popular open mic, but they also
had
shows.
See, if it was popular, it was probably we're not playing there.
Well, it was an open mic.
Okay, yeah.
But and then if you did well in the open mics, they'd give you a show.
Right. And so, you know, it was one of these things, we did it once as a goof, and it went really well, and we were like, we should do it again. We wrote a couple more songs, and then it just kind of kept rolling. And again, not ever imagining that this would be something that caught on.
Yeah.
And I guess if I had imagined that it would be something that would have caught on, I would not have engineered these like terrible costumes that are hard, like literally, seriously, like the first one was like a bucket over our head with a thing cut out of it.
Maybe that's what I should do, is like make a really uncomfortable costume out of broken glass.
Don't do that.
That's how I'll get popular.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to play like that because it's uncomfortable.
I can barely play anyway.
Hard to hear and so. So our scale was very small, and then this movie thing happened, and then that just sort of like.
Yeah.
So subsequently, we've done a U.S. tour. When we play shows now, like cities I've never been in before, people show up with buckets on their heads. They make their homemade costumes.
Oh, wow.
The fans are super creative, which I love.
Yeah, that's great.
In fact, I've seen some that are like actually probably much better than the ones that
that we have.
That people have put a lot more care into this thing.
Oh, man. Well, I can't think of a more perfect place than you to play a song with a jukebox going. And
yeah.
There's a baby in the room.
Yeah.
This is the dive bar, and there's a baby here. People, the baby has a face tat?
No, the baby's dad has a face tat.
Oh, the father. This is the kind of place where a baby would have a face tat. It's her baby. Yeah. Yeah. She was pregnant here. Sorry, you folks at home can't hear half this conversation. There's a baby. The bartender's holding a baby behind the bar right now. It's her baby.
Okay.
And she was pregnant here, yeah. Do you want to play a song? Oh!
Yep.
Yeah, play it now. In between songs.
Fortunately, the song's only 38 seconds long. So.
What is...
One of the other weird projects, actually, how I met the Jay from Future Folk, is we wrote a musical called Who is Wilford Brimley? That was kind of like a send-up of... It was like a, you know, like E! True Hollywood Story, completely made up about Wilford Brimley and all these songs, and I played Steve Guttenberg, and it was super silly.
Uh-huh.
And so we produced this thing, and we put it on at the Brick Theater. Tish, did you ever see?
No.
Okay, yeah.
Are you playing soon?
What's that?
Are you playing soon again?
No, we don't have any gigs at the moment.
Okay.
All right. Should I do a song?
Yeah, do a song.
I hate it when people sort of contextualize what they're about to play.
I like it.
All right, so then I'll do it.
I like to know what I'm going to hear.
So this is called Over the Moon. This was written and arranged for two people, so I'm going to try and do my best to do it as a single.
Right.
But just know that it's twice as awesome, maybe three times as awesome,
right,
with the harmony vocals.
Yeah, and not in a bar with an ice machine going.
Exactly.
First I found you, then I confound you. I should have said I'm from outer space, from the very start. Explanation, destroy population. But when I first laid my eyes on you, I had a change of heart. When it's not night, my sky still fills with lights. I see stars. When I hold you tight one bright afternoon, I see stars in the dark heart of a black tie. my phone, I see stars. When I know that I'll be with you soon, I see stars. I see stars. I'm over the moon.
That's right up my alley, that kind of stuff.
Cool, man. Thank you.
That's really great. It's I was you know, I was worried that it was gonna be like lasers, you know.
Yeah.
You know. But
no, it's I try and find a universal truth and then put an absurd sort of skin on.
Yeah. That's I aspire to like write songs like that, you know. Like they're clever and but emotional.
Yeah, I like simplicity, and that wasn't always my path. I used to like complexity, and I was a big, growing up, I was really into like Zappa and Fish,
right.
And like the more complicated the arrangements, the better.
Elvis Costello, you like it?
I never got into Elvis Costello, yeah. And I don't know if that's a taste thing or just sort of like a circumstance thing.
I didn't get into him at first because of his voice, but mm-hmm. I learned to like it.
People have tried to turn me on to him, and I feel like, I don't know, I just... hasn't hit me in the right way. Like a Jonathan Richman or somebody who is
very
simple, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's there's like a truth in it that's touching, right?
Yeah.
It's like
Simple, and a truth. And he has clever lyrics, you know?
Yeah. But clever in simplicity.
Yeah, exactly. He's not showing off.
No.
Yeah.
It's like boiling it down to like
if anything, sometimes he makes fun of himself.
Yeah, yeah. I like that too.
Yeah.
Anybody who takes himself too seriously,
right?
I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we shouldn't shit on people on this podcast.
No.
I mean, I don't mind, but I'm not going to drag you down with me. I already did it with Weird Al.
I fought for Weird Al, for what it's worth.
No, you did well. You turned me around a little bit.
Yeah.
Jesus. Sorry.
You need to get that?
No, I don't need to get it. I just don't know how to turn my phone is broken, so the ringer can't turn off now. Until it rings, then I can turn it off.
Oh, really? So I try to do these sort of like conceptual things, and maybe that's because I'm afraid of sort of just talking about myself or just, you know, being like, I feel stupid just talking about me.
Yeah. Actually, that's an interesting point. It's kind of easier if you have a character to write personal songs.
Yeah, now imagine you're a character and you have a helmet on.
Yeah.
Imagine how, like, yeah, exactly. That's kind of cool because you're just like, I don't give a fuck, like, whatever.
Now, we talked a little, like, I asked if it's more adult-based, and you said...
I think
that got interrupted.
Yeah, it did, right. So, originally, it was tailored for sort of the East Village, you know, comedy world.
Yeah.
And then what I found is that kids really like the music.
Yeah.
And that there's been a tremendous response.
Like what age group?
Pretty much, like, from maybe 5 to 12.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And... Which, so that insight was very interesting to me. And our album, which did pretty well, it was on the Billboard Top 10 for comedy for a little bit. There's one F-bomb on the album, and that's sort of my biggest regret, is that... that
I think teach kids about the F-bomb.
Sure, but I also... listen, I don't care about that. It's more about, like, are people going to be turned away because they see that there's explicit lyrics on it and think it's worse or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my...
Right.
I wish that... And you know, I've been trying to develop a children's TV show around this concept as well, sort of like an animated animated thing. Because I think that I think the IP is really cool, and I think it has a lot of potential, and I also think it could, like, be super successful and make a lot of people a lot of money.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I have a cartoon studio.
I did not know that.
It's actually a real studio. It's not a cartoon studio. but we do dumb cartoons.
By the way, I was just groping around for my capo for the last 2 minutes, and I had already put it on.
It's like when you're looking for your glasses and you're wearing them.
This is, by the way, this is my...
You know, there was one time, I swear to God, you're going to love this story because I'm an idiot. I was looking the longest time for my bicycle and I was on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like when I was a kid.
Sometimes I'll be looking at my phone and I'll be like, where's my phone? And it's not in my pockets. And I'll be like, fuck, I don't know where my phone is.
Right.
Let me Google it.
Right, because it's not a phone anymore. It's everything else.
Yeah. this is my 5-year-old's guitar. This is like a $100 Yamaha half scale.
It sounds great.
Guitar. Yeah, I really like it, actually. This is sort of what I've been playing recently. And I thought it would be good to bring today because I feel like it strips away any pretense of performance. Like, if you see that, it's not about a performance, it's about...
Hey, look, I probably like your version that you did here. I would probably like it more. I tend to like just simple acoustic versions. Not that you're not kind of basically acoustic anyway.
Sure.
Does he play electric guitar? Or?
No. It's an acoustic duo.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really geek out on is the vocal harmonies. Is really sweating the vocal harmonies and making them sound like they're sort of like interweaving in a sort of just like thirds or whatever.
That's something that would never happen with me. I don't have a good voice.
I don't have a good voice either. Jay's the one with the pipes. I'm super self-conscious about my voice. Right. I listen to it and I think it's...
No, you
gross.
You have a great voice. Take it from me.
I'll take a bad voice. All right,
What?
You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, Tish is talking and not getting me another drink.
Oh, what do you want?
Another double kettle on the rocks.
Would you be so kind as to get me a pork slap? Pork slap.
And some kind
delicious.
Of shot, right?
No, just a pork slap.
Didn't she give you a shot earlier?
She did.
She did?
Yeah.
And did you drink it?
Yeah.
And you don't want another one?
No, I'm good.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Exactly.
Do you have any kids?
I have two kids, yeah.
Oh, you have two kids? Yeah. How old are they?
7, 8, and 5.
Oh, yeah. And they like the music?
They do. In fact, they're fucking inspirational when it comes to writing music.
Yeah.
Just the malapropisms and we'll sit down and we'll like jam and the stuff that will come out of their mouth. And then it's like they'll start singing something and I'm like, that's awesome. And they'll continue singing. I'm like, shh, 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 I got it from here. Like,
Yeah.
That's good.
I actually got a few ideas for my daughter when she was little. Like, there was, I gave her, she just said to me out of nowhere, and by the way, we're not neglectful parents. You're going to think maybe neglectful when you hear this. But she says, Daddy, when I'm alone, it feels, or no, I got it backwards.
Sure.
She says, when I'm thirsty, it feels like how I feel when I'm alone. And I'm like, whoa.
You know what? I fucking totally relate with that.
I
used to have a weird thing where it was like when I would feel depressed,
yeah.
It was like a sort of an overlap with thirst where I would feel something in my...
Me too. I mean, definitely like kind of a homesickness kind of feel too.
That's so weird. But that's the thing. It's like they don't know not to articulate those truths.
Yeah.
And when you hear that shit, and you're just like, that's cool. You know, like my kids say stuff by accident that I couldn't, you know, like if I thought of that, it would be the... like my creative high point of the year.
Yeah.
You know, to come up with that, those words in that order, I would be like, that was the pinnacle of this year, creativity.
Yeah,
but they're just like,
Yeah, they just rattle them off.
Yeah.
Like idiots.
Yeah. I know.
Another thing she said, and I named my production company after this, she started singing a song while I was playing guitar, and she said, touch my daddy gently, he's very fragile.
Oh yeah, fragile. That's totally exactly.
Yeah.
That's a album name right there. It's fragile.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but now I'll you know, she's 18 and I played a song that it's on the Christmas album and it's about her.
Uh-huh.
And it's about how I'm a dad and I'm afraid of her growing older and becoming disenchanted with the world.
Yeah.
And she was devastated by the song, like she's not because of what it was about. She thought I loved her more when she was a baby.
Oh, interesting.
Than now, yeah. But I think she was on her period.
Also, it's totally fucking true. No, it's really cool, and I that's what I aspire to, is to strip away the like adult shit and get to the, I don't know, universal. I mean, I mentioned Shel Silverstein. Jonathan Richman, like Dr. Seuss, like
yeah,
like
I think
that,
if it's
like make up your own word. If there's not a word, if there's not a word for, or if there's not a word that rhymes, make up a word.
Have you ever heard of Lard Dog?
I don't think so.
No, he plays in New York too, and his songs are more like kid kind of songs, you know.
Yeah.
But he plays an alien from outer space.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lard Dog?
Yeah.
I see. It's funny because when you said that, I paused because I was thinking Moondog, that guy from the 70s who used to play on like in Times Square and then moved to Germany and do these weird. I like his music a lot, but I'm not familiar with Lard Dog.
Yeah, Lard Dog is. His songs sound, they're great, but they're more like novelty songs.
Yeah. Well, I've been called. I mean, I've been called a novelty act before. And I think that that's sort of like, at first blush, a lot of what I do is sort of novelty act.
Right.
But I think the challenge then is that's the hook, right? That's the knock.
Well,
And then the trick is to subvert the expectation.
That's exactly. I mean, I've done that with TV shows where they start silly and then and then just add a little too much reality to them.
Yeah, right. The first album I wrote and recorded was... it was probably right around the time that you were driving up, driving up the Mid-Hudson.
Yeah.
You know, getting out of Dodge. It was called Touch of Booty. And the concept was, it was all songs about booty.
Yeah.
But every song was a different genre. So there was like a funk song, there was a...
Right. A folk
techno
song.
Techno song, a folk song, there was a sea shanty.
Wow.
And so, you know, again, I've noticed with myself, and this is not a conscious decision, But I feel like when I'm constrained to something, then that gives me a lot more ideas than when someone's like, everything's on the table.
Exactly, yeah. I've never been more fertile than thinking of Halloween songs and
that's
Christmas songs.
That's why I was asking you about them. I was curious because I'm like, no, I can totally see like digging into that.
I would say a total of like 6 to 7 weeks to write 20...
How many? Oh, wow.
Like 25 songs. Because the Christmas album was very quick.
Yeah.
And then the Halloween album.
So what is your style? You sort of like Gatling gun style. You're just like, here's a bunch of stuff, and then see what works and select it, or
no? I'll work on a song until I like it.
Right.
I don't throw anything away. Like, every song we recorded on the Christmas album and the previous album, we kept on the album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, I mean, you know, maybe 100 people have bought the record.
Right.
So
I think the answer to that is who you're making the record for.
I'm making it for me.
There you go. Then that's, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I feel a little guilty because the band is like, all right, now what are we going to do with this Christmas album? I'm like, I don't know. It's November 9th, and it's kind of too late to promote it. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, maybe. But it's, you know, in like digital land, you can do that stuff pretty quickly.
Yeah. I agree. Like, what I said when I was working on Conan when I was first here in New York, it's great because you have the constraints of a talk show to write comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of people could think, well, that, you know, that's got to be difficult. But also you've got a great straight line, which is a talk show. So you've got, you know, just all those, the elements of a talk show. And in some way, it helps narrow it down more.
Totally.
Because when you have to write an album, you're like, what am I going to write about? There's a million things to write about.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like you freeze.
Yeah.
But if you're like, write 4 songs about that ice machine.
Yeah.
Like, I could write 4 songs about that ice machine.
Sure. I think that's, maybe next time we get together, we'll
go like Ice Baby Revisited or something.
We should come back with ice machine songs.
Challenge accepted.
Well, with my friend, I was like, let's write a Halloween album this year. So he wrote one and I wrote one.
Mm.
We haven't heard each other's yet.
Oh, really? That's
fun. He's still in the middle.
I love those kind of collaborations.
Yeah.
And I wish I had more opportunity to collaborate. And quite frankly, I wish I knew more musicians to collaborate with. I feel like the older I get, I'm like just sort of like more in my own little cocoon. And
well, you have a family. And
yeah.
You gotta. You know what you gotta do? You gotta. I'm cut waiting. That family.
Yeah, I was wondering what came next.
Best thing that ever happened.
Cut them all off. Yeah, no, I can't do that.
No, I love my daughter. I see her a lot. It's just I'm not good at living with people.
Yeah.
I could actually live with my daughter because we're both pretty easygoing.
Yeah.
But most women are tough to live with.
It's tough too because I find that inspiration strikes obviously like randomly. But I have like
exactly.
I have like 8 to 10 or 11 or whenever I'm too exhausted at night, and that's sort of my window.
Yeah,
and
or
statistically
or
speaking, like the inspiration probably not going to happen in that.
Or you're laying awake in bed and you go, I got this great idea, and then you go into the living room and start playing and your wife comes out like, what are you doing?
She's pretty cool. If anything, it's like me. I feel like I'm overly self-conscious about not wanting to subject her to hearing the same, like working out the same thing over and over.
Because
I don't actually think she cares, but like my whatever obsessive compulsive, I'm just like, oh, this must be so annoying.
It's probably me too. You know, I probably feel that too. But yeah, when you write a song, you got to play it over and over and over.
And I mean, the way I approach it is I run it through the sander over and over again, and I listen to it and I think like, what do I hate about this? I put it to my own standard, which is very high, and I think even higher for myself. And so it goes through the planer a lot before I can show it to anybody else. So it's not like I'm just like, oh, I wrote a song yesterday at the park. What do you think of it? No, I would never do that.
Right.
I would go and I would like go in and, you know, maybe the initial inspiration is sort of free form, but then I would like put it in whatever grid my brain works on and like go in and sense check every last little thing.
Yeah.
Change little things until I find.
I think it's good to be self-critical at a certain stage. I think like with the initial stages, that's why I drink.
Yeah.
In the initial stages, I just want to like be free and
I'm the same way.
How do you get there? Do you, are you?
I wish I knew. I wish there was like a process where I could be like, okay, I'm gonna get inspired. I'm gonna have a like I don't know like a chocolate malt
some
and a,
cocktail
or whatever.
Yeah.
But I find sometimes things surprising things inspire me, and half the time I'm not even sure what it is that inspires me.
Yeah, and you gotta act
on it. I think
it's
chemical. You know what I mean? I think there's like a chemical.
I think it is.
Yeah. It's just like whatever, like sloshing around your brain. When that thing's at high tide, you're like, okay, it's on.
Yeah. Do you find it happens in certain moments that you can come back to and go, oh, it's always like when I'm half asleep or when I'm taking a shit or something like that.
Right. No. I'm kind of glad it's not when I'm taking a shit.
Yeah, because then you've got that in your head the whole time. Like,
yeah, and then
this song
like,
was written.
Yeah, like
with a shit smell.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, the thing that inspires me actually is counterproductive, which is if I'm away from an instrument for a while, if I don't have that release, like I find. So, for example, if I'm like focused on technique and I'm doing like practicing, then I don't. That stuff doesn't bubble up. But if that.
I think that's a basic human characteristic.
Yeah, if I leave it alone and I come to it, it's like I can't. I don't.
Yeah,
I have more ideas than I.
Actually,
have
time. That's true. When I'm the farthest away from a guitar, that's when I think of a tune in my head.
Yeah.
So then you got to get your phone out and sing into it.
Thank God for those things, man.
Yeah.
That's like the voice, like you know whatever recorder app on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Is.
Oh, definitely. It's a songwriter's dream.
Yeah, it's a miracle. Because I used to have one of these things, but it's like, you're not going to...
I bought one and gave it away. I'm like, I never carry it around. It's...
Yeah.
You know.
But the...
Who knows? Maybe it sounds good. I hope so.
I'm sure it's picking up every last ice cube that's being made right now.
I hope this picks up, because this is a good one. This is a good sing-songer.
But yeah, so the other thing I try and do... So the future folk thing is one thing, and then when I'm writing my own stuff, I try and write, again, I feel uncomfortable writing about myself directly, because I find it insufferable when people talk about themselves too much.
Talk about themselves, but do you find it insufferable when a singer sings about his life in an interesting way?
I think the margin of success is narrower.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think it's very easy to come off as fatuous, and I don't know. That's all my big words I know. But
that's interesting. I wonder how you'd feel about my stuff, because I think my stuff is very personal.
It's not to say there's not personal stuff that I don't like, but
well,
I myself feel like I don't. Maybe I'm not confident enough in the craft to be able to lift that up. Maybe it's that I don't people to. Know those true. I don't know.
But I find myself really liking artists who are personal and.
See, you know, I like personal, but just not personal me. Like personal to.
Yeah.
Personal, but not about me.
Right.
Right.
Well, there's of course if you write a song and it's personal, you've got to have a universal appeal to it.
Yeah. And if it's going to work, there has to be some sort of empathy to that perspective.
Right.
And in order to have that empathy, you need to. Experience it in some way.
Like I wrote a song and I for the Christmas album, and I'm not sure anyone's gonna like it because it's about a very specific Greek tradition where if someone in your family dies, you don't put up Christmas ornaments or lights or trees that year.
Well, I've never heard that.
Yeah, but what it turned also into is a song about remembering the dead, and this happened 40 years ago, and I want to do it again just to. Bring that person back.
But you get a pass for that because that's not about you. That's your
right.
interpretation of a thing.
Right. It's my interpretation of a thing that I'm trying to universalize by saying it's about remembering someone after they die.
Can I do another song? Because I think this will be a good example of maybe what I'm talking about. I had a couple songs I wanted to play, but I think this is maybe in terms of sort of like putting yourself in a character.
Yeah.
That's not me, but...
But personal.
But personal.
Yeah.
And essentially what the thrust of this song is, it's about somebody who loves music more than other people.
Yeah. I love it. I love it already.
After the last of them have gone, after all the bottles have been shattered on the lawn, for the night is through, there's something we gotta do. There's a part of me I wanna share with part of you. It's late, 1:45. I really wanna kiss you just the whole night through. This day, what I got to do is to get some perspective on your point of view. Have you ever heard this one by Husker Du? It's the band that is my favorite band. This is the band that is my favorite band. Won't you sit right back? I'll play a track or two for you. Maybe it can be your favorite band. It could be the band that is your favorite band. Feeling things tonight, but baby, feelings isn't always black and white, unless those feelings are feeling that guitar and the way the drums and bass explode inside my car. It's time to get it on, but first I wanna have you listen to this song. The quality's bad, but the melody's strong, and I'm hoping that you're gonna wanna sing along. Have you ever heard this one by Husker Du? It's the band that is my favorite band. This is the band that is my favorite band. This a classic track from way back in 1982. A world that did exist but that I never knew. A world before I ever knew I needed you.
Is that in your? Is that an alien singing?
No. This is separate.
Yeah.
There's no.
Right.
No mention of space. It'd be kind of weird if that was like an alien. It's like, I'm really into Husker Du.
Right, but
by the way, there's no music on the whole premise is that there was no music on our home planet. So that's why we stayed on Earth, because in the movie,
right,
in our backstory.
Well,
like,
I interpreted it as, because there's a line that says, "A world that I never knew."
That's true. Yeah.
So I thought maybe he came and
that's the like sort of the longing for connection
that's
peeking out beneath this greater need to connect on this music thing.
Yeah,
by the
way,
I don't like Husker Du, and that was just sort of like it's not that I dislike them, but it's not.
It just
like,
rhymed.
Yeah, it's an arbitrary.
Paul Simon has a story where Mickey Mantle came up to him and said, "Why'd you mention Joe DiMaggio in Mrs. Robinson? What's wrong with me?" And he's like, you know, I mean, Mickey Mantle was more my time. I liked him more.
Didn't have the right amount of syllables, right?
Yeah. It's like, you can't say, where did you go? Where did you go? Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
You know? Just wouldn't sound right.
Yeah. yeah, man, it's a magical thing. And I think that being your worst critic, like being a self-critic,
yeah,
that's the part that separates, like, sort of, I don't know, egotistical ramblings to something that's like when I write stuff, I'm like, is this something that somebody's going to want to listen to? Are they going to drop off in the first 7 seconds?
Right. I mean, you have to. It's a dichotomy. You have to be your worst enemy and your greatest benefactor at the same time.
I got
to
work on that second part.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it because you're actually writing and performing, and you know, yeah. Believe me, you're behind yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I mean. You know. You in order to be an artist, you gotta hate and love yourself.
Yeah,
I think.
Is that like I was walking on the beach and I looked back and there were four sets of footprints and it was like I was behind myself and I was like, dude, I was pushing you the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. So I was talking to someone, I can't remember if it was about music or just writing, and I don't remember who it was, but they had a way of writing where they were writing. I think it was definitely about music, and I think it was on SingSongers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna get in trouble.
They're making popcorn now. Oh no, that's the ice.
That's still the ice. But writing in the point of view of someone who is least like them, like mm-hmm. you know, like
yeah,
like
I can see that as
like actually, God, yeah, it was just. I think it was the last SingSongers I did, but I'm a drunk and I can't remember. But it was a woman, and she was talking about like how it was about, you know.
Oh yeah, I listened to the
oh
part
yeah, 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 yeah. It was.
She was Ali.
It was
Ali
Kazoo.
Right?
Ali Kazoo. Ali. What? Callie Kazoo. I'm drunk. Yeah, she was talking about. All right, forget it. Just go back and listen to Last SingSongers. You'll know what I'm saying. But, yeah, writing through the point of view of the person she's least like.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a situation.
But honestly, I think that those constructs are a way to distance yourself from the fact that you probably are still writing about yourself.
Definitely. I think we even talked about that. You know, like, even if you're writing about a fictional character, you're going to come through it
yeah.
in some way because you're writing it.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, the circumstances are different. The personality is different. But ultimately, the emotional impact, like you can imagine being, you know, it's like when somebody's like, well, what would you do in my position? And you're like, well, is that if I'm you or I'm me?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, and then if I'm me, but I'm in your position, did I get there because those were my decisions or because they were your decisions?
I have a lot of these arguments. My big argument is, like, if you were Hitler, you'd do exactly what Hitler did.
Well, because you'd be Hitler.
Yeah. But people would be like, no, but I wouldn't. I'm like, yeah, no, you wouldn't because you'd be Hitler.
Because you'd have his brain and you'd have those, like, whatever, like, pathways, the
exactly.
neurons, like, build your personality.
Yeah, and you would have the same exact upbringing and the same exact everything. And then I had some idiot go, yeah, but there's going to be an X factor involved. And I'm like, all right, argument's over.
Yeah, that's
X factor.
Yeah, that's stupid.
You're a fucking
yeah,
asshole.
Yeah.
Cunt.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think I'm too drunk to keep going with this.
Yeah, that's the C factor.
And now there's a baby.
Baby, what is it? All right, baby's at the jukebox. Baby's at the Highway to Hell.
The baby's picking songs.
No, it's like Clash.
Now it's being led.
No, yeah.
The adult is leading the baby.
Black
as
Sabbath.
As usual.
Oh, we're back to AC/DC.
All right. Someone's holding a baby at the jukebox. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, I think I might be too drunk to keep going,
okay.
but this
yeah,
is great.
Totally. Thank you so much, man.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, this was good.